Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Limits, have you seen the list of rock concerts coming to Pittsburgh over the next 3 months?
I have not, no.
The Post-Gazette just put it out. Perhaps we could bring on Brian Batko to help us with this a little bit and also
yes.
Talk a little Steelers. Is he there?
Yes.
Brian, you there? Are you on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline? How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I've never been better, and Limits is doing very well himself. First, let me get your take on Broderick Jones. You heard us talking about it yesterday. You texted me to say that maybe you had a different take than I did, although I hadn't given a take yet. So you were actually reading my mind. But what is your take on Jones saying, if I'm not starting, I probably shouldn't be playing? What was the cryptid message there?
So I heard you talking about it Monday too when my flight landed in Pittsburgh and heard it. So I don't think it was cryptic. I think people were like sort of mishearing what he said. Here's what I think he meant to say. He feels like if he's not starting, oh, I should be playing, is like what he meant to say. He doesn't feel that way. He's not trying to second guess the coaches and assume, if I'm not playing, I should be playing. If I'm on the bench, I should be in the lineup. And that would fit with the context of everything else he said after that game. So I normally hate the whole like, oh, this guy's taken out of context thing, because typically it's just an excuse for I said something I shouldn't have said, and now people are noticing it and putting me on blast for it. In this case, with that particular snippet, I think he actually is being taken out of context.
I think that it's somewhere in between the worst interpretation and your interpretation. I think he was trying to say that rotating is a bad idea. That, listen, if I'm not going to start, then just don't play me. Seriously, I'll be ready in case of injury. Of course, he'll be ready to play. But this whole rotating, I think that was his way of saying, you're putting me into a game with no rhythm at the 1 yard line. Just if I'm not going to start, then let somebody else start. That's what I heard.
That was insane that they actually didn't have any feel for the flow of the game at that point.
I know.
Did put there then. But no, I still disagree with you. I don't think he was trying to make that point either. I think it was all just a lot less. I think we're just ascribing more to him than there really was there. I think his whole point was, I don't assume anything. I don't assume if I'm not starting that, oh, I should be playing. There was an inflection in his voice that doesn't come across when you see it in print. And in fact, the very next thing he said was, the rotation is not a factor for me. So I really think he was trying to let it all slide off of his back, and it's kind of a weird thing for him to be in the middle of right now. He was not in the locker room just now this morning when I was in there. So
is there any significance to that or no?
Probably doesn't feel like doing interviews would be the main takeaway there. That's kind of what I think. A lot of the other linemen who are typically around at this time were there, but maybe Broderick needs a little bit of a break from the microphones and the recorders, especially if I am correct in that people are, you know, taking his words out of context here and painting him in a light that isn't really fair to him.
Are you driving right now? I see on the video. Are you in a car?
I'm in a car. I'm not driving. I'm just here for quiet because last time I did this with City Limits producing, I think like six trains went behind me at the facility.
That's correct. Yes.
I don't know if the audio was usable. You'd have to ask Austin on that one.
This is unbelievable. It looks like when they tried to depict people driving in like 1940s movies where the car wasn't actually moving. Check it out there at 93.7thefan.com. You want to see the video feed. You're like Clark Gable in a movie right now. This is incredible. Pretend you're driving. You might as well pretend you're driving. There you go. Get the steering wheel going. This is amazing. What's going on with Broderick Jones other than the quote? Tom went out of his way to praise every single one of his offensive linemen, his young offensive linemen yesterday for all their contributions and attitude, and aren't they wonderful? Is this simply about play with Broderick Jones, or as Chris Hoke suggested Sunday, as Mark Cabali has since suggested, is there a wavering in his intensity? Is it something else besides his play? Is it injury? What is happening with him?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of heard rumblings of that too, Joe. More so of like, hey, is he really playing through the whistle on every play? If the run's going away from him, is he continuing to do his job and, you know, look for work, as the O-line gurus say, you know, on the backside? I don't know that I have a trained enough eye to really weigh in on that. And clearly I would defer to Hokie on any matters of actually being in stadium in a helmet. So, you know, I take that for what it's worth. But as far as like not being into the whole deal at camp, I didn't observe that. In fact, most days he was staying on the field after practice, typically shirtless on a hot Latrobe day, and working through more pass sets with the other linemen or with coaches, assistants, maybe because he wasn't getting a lot of reps on one side or the other on that particular day. So no, I never really got the vibe that he was disillusioned by the Steelers picking Troy Fautanu or feeling like his spot was threatened, but you never truly know what's going through a guy's head.
Well, speaking of that, Mike Tomlin claims that a couple of things. Claims that he's still going to get a chance here, and also claims that the toggling, or as somebody phrased it yesterday, the cross-training between left and right tackle was going to be the plan whether he started or not. Can we hear that clip, Limitless Wonder?
How about this one? We'll see what Rose Lee. We got a week of preparation. And I'd be disrespectful to Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday if I had a hardcore plan in mind about how I was going to roll those guys. Man, I'm going to give Broderick an opportunity to rebound. He's a talented young player. I'm sure he suffered some disappointment in terms of Troy starting. It's a natural thing. But he's got to move past it, and I got to give him an opportunity to move past it as a leader. And so we'll get into this week. We'll let participation be our guide, and the quality of participation for both guys be our guide in terms of how we divvy up reps this week. It's a new week.
So my question is, where is he going to get that opportunity? Certainly they're not going to rotate him in. That feels ridiculous at this point, especially with Fautanu having played a very good game.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually read those comments from Mike, and I could be wrong, but I actually feel like the leash is not very long for Dan Moore. And when he answered a question about Dan Moore, I mean, he basically just said, yeah, he's a pro, like he adapts to his environment, something along those lines. Doesn't worry about what's going on around him was pretty much the takeaway of it. And I mean, that almost sounded to me like something you say about a guy who you have been trying to replace for 2 years, and you will soon replace at some point with these highly drafted prospects in this case. So, yeah, I mean, I actually think that Jones could get an opportunity, that the first slip up for Dan Moore or first rough game, first rough outing for him, Tomlin would not hesitate to turn to Broderick at his more natural position on the left side. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Broderick's fully in the doghouse, but I mean, I think they're all kind of still on the same page here of Dan Moore's fine, but we've been looking to upgrade for 2 years, and eventually we're going to do just that.
We going to see Roman Wilson this week?
I think so. I mean, Ben Skoranek is on IR now, so they're even thinner at receiver. It says a lot about this group that when Ben Skoranek is hurt, all of a sudden they take a big blow. So, yeah, I mean, I think this will be the week to get Wilson in there and, you know, maybe even earlier than they anticipated. But it's week three, so if you're going to have him miss 4 weeks, then you might as well have put him on IR to begin the season. So, yeah, I think it's about time for him to get up to speed. Where he'll play and how much, I still don't have a good feel for that, but I think he's ready.
Are you of the mind that the Steelers will go out and get a receiver at some point still before the trade deadline?
I could see it going either way, Joe. I really could. You know, they've got some bigger bodies on the practice squad. Well, they did in Skoranek, and now he's got a shoulder issue of some sort. Brandon Johnson's a guy who, I mean, everyone's going to say who were this, but I mean, he did catch, I think, 3 or 4 touchdowns last year for the Broncos. So he's not a nobody as far as NFL experience goes. And I think he's like 6'2". So I've been saying really since the IU trade fell through that, you know, more than anything, they just need another bigger body in there. They need more size at receiver because the Scotty Millers and Calvin Austins and even Roman Wilsons of the world are nice for getting open underneath and making some tough catches on third downs to keep the chains moving. But other than George Pickens and Van Jefferson, who I'm not seeing get a lot of separation here through 2 weeks, you just don't really have any of those prototypical 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2 receivers who can run downfield and maybe make a contested catch over somebody.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed in how the Calvin Austin story has played out over these 3 years, really. It just felt like he was going to be a perfect match here. A slot guy, a speed guy, you know, quick and short space guy, making tons of catches, and just, it's really just nothing.
Yeah, I felt like from the moment they drafted him, I loved the pick, but that it was going to take some creativity from an offense to get the most out of him. And, you know, whether Matt Canada just doesn't have that in him or he was like so underwater by that point in his tenure that it's almost like, now you're throwing a Calvin Austin on my desk. I've got a million other problems to deal with here. It didn't work out. And, you know, we'll see what Arthur Smith has in store for Calvin Austin. I did think he bounced back and made a nice tough catch the other day after, you know, really the size limitations were obvious on that one throw in Atlanta. So, I mean, he's never going to be a high volume guy, but man, if Arthur Smith is the creative play caller and play designer that I think he is, then he is going to scheme up some ways to utilize Calvin Austin's speed and quickness.
Brian Bacco, the Post Gazette, on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, we have the Chargers coming up here. I'm having a tough time figuring them out, but I know they have top-end talent. What kind of challenge is this for the Steelers?
Well, it's a team that seems to be starting to believe here 2 weeks in with Jim Harbaugh, and we all know that he's a little bit of a strange bird. So I feel like those experiments can go one way or the other, but sure seems like everybody was ready to move on from the Brandon Staley era out there. And yeah, I mean, Justin Herbert, we know what he can do. It doesn't seem like he's fully 100% healthy either. J.K. Dobbins has been, I don't know if resurrected is the right word, because maybe he never really lost it. Maybe he's just finally healthy again, but it seems like they're following the vision under Harbaugh, and they're not leaning on Herbert to do too much. And the defense, I almost can't put any stock in what they're doing well or not, because they've faced Gardner Minshew, who, granted, beat the Ravens the other day, and Young, who looks like he's on just ridiculous bust levels of trajectory here. So that'll be a good test for the Chargers defense to see if the Steelers offense can find some holes there, and if they can pull their own selves up by their bootstraps in week three at home.
Couple quick thoughts on Patrick Queen so far.
Not super noticeable, not really jumping off the field at me, but I mean, I think he was mainly brought here to to be a stable presence who's going to be consistent week in and week out and provide some splash every now and again. And it's tough at that position. We know it comes and goes, and it seems like it's almost something about the way the Steelers play that inside linebackers don't get their hands on the ball very often, because just a couple years ago, you had the trio that didn't get any takeaways. So I don't know how much of that is on Queen or how badly he's playing. I think he'll get more comfortable and ultimately continue to be an asset.
A couple more questions for Brian Batko, our very good friend. Justin Fields plays pretty much the way he has played. No turnovers, has a decent game, and they win. Does he start the next week, even if Russell's healthy?
I think so. I think they keep riding the hot hand with Justin Fields. I mean, we know it's been reported how much Mike Tomlin liked him coming out of the draft. And, you know, I get it. The more I've been around Justin Fields, I mean, you watch him on TV and stuff over the last few years with the Bears. And, yeah, you see the ups and downs. You see the wow plays and then the inconsistencies. And certainly you've seen a lot of losses. But, you know, a good example of that would be just his last year when he faced the Broncos. He put up like 400 some yards, 4 touchdowns. They scored 28 points and lost. So that's why I don't always put too much stock into he had 10 wins in 3 seasons for Chicago. There's a lot of other factors that go yes. into that as a quarterback stat. But I get it from a Fields perspective or Mike Tomlin perspective on Fields. Like the more you just see the guy move as an athlete, as a passer, it's easy to it's easy to believe in him is probably the best way I would put it. And, you know, some of these plays where he just takes off and converts a third down, man, is that a sight for sore eyes for the Steelers offense that really hasn't had that in its arsenal. Kenny Pickett could do a little bit, but obviously not in Trubisky, but not in the same vein as Fields. So I think they keep riding this until the bottom falls out, and that puts you in a little bit of a win-win of, okay, we're either winning games with Justin Fields and he's proving people wrong, or we have this fallback option of Russell was our guy all along. So it's not that we're benching Fields. We still have confidence in him, and that could be an easy way to massage the situation for Mike Tomlin if it comes up.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase.
Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Little potpourri here before we get to Dan Zangrilli at noon to talk some Pirates on the day after they were officially eliminated. First, Justin Herbert, an ankle injury. Jim Harbaugh said today, feeling a lot better. The Great Easton Stick would start if Herbert can't go, but it sounds like it's going to be Justin Herbert. Tomlin referenced that game a couple years ago where Herbert ran wild on them. They were turning their backs on him in the secondary, and he was just taken off and completely running wild. So the less mobile he is, the better for the Steelers. And then there's this from Jenna Harner. Former Steelers earning nominations for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. That means they're among the first in the first round of many, many rounds. Hines Ward, Gary Anderson, Casey Hampton, James Farrier, James Harrison, and Mike Vrabel, who was a Steeler for a very short time and then made his reputation with the multi-Super Bowl champion Patriots. What think you of that, Limitless Wonder?
I think the player with the best chance on that list is James Harrison. Defensive Player of the Year award. Maybe the most memorable play in Super Bowl history? Maybe. I mean, it's definitely up there.
To me, it's the greatest football play of all time. Yes, including the Immaculate Reception.
I think the Immaculate Reception, which has its own name, definitely has more of a higher regard than James Harrison's interception.
I didn't say which one was higher regarded. I said which was the greater play.
I think it's the greater play, the Immaculate Reception. It's the greatest play in football history of any level.
Did I just come up with a hot take there?
Maybe the band on the
James
field.
James Harrison band is on the field.
Maybe that one's, a good rival for it.
The Immaculate Reception is the most famous play. I think the James Harrison interception is the greatest actual play in football history.
I mean, you could definitely make an argument for it. The Immaculate Reception for not just what it meant for Pittsburgh, but what it meant for football. I mean, it didn't create a dynasty. Obviously, they won Super Bowl 2 years later. But it was the start of everything. And it was literally 22 seconds left, no timeouts, crazy deflection, ball not hitting the ground, no matter what Oakland wants to say or Vegas wants to say, whoever.
Yes, we all remember the Immaculate Reception, City Limits.
That's just the better play in my mind.
Yeah, I'm sure most people would agree. Yes.
Hines Ward, though, I think has a case. And he's been on this border for a while now. And again, until the likes of Torrey Holt, and so, like, here's some of the wide receivers. Anquan Boldin, Antonio Freeman, Torrey Holt, Chad Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Jordy Nelson, Demaryius Thomas, Reggie Wayne, Roddy White.
See, there's a log jam there.
Who is better? Who is Hines Ward not better than in that instance? I'd say Torrey Holt probably better over the course of his career.
Strictly catching the ball.
Reggie Wayne.
But there's more to the job. And when I talked to Peter King, this was now 10 years ago at least, he said unequivocally he would vote, and has, I'm sure, for Hines Ward to be in the Hall of Fame because he was the greatest blocking receiver of his era for a team that ran the ball better than anybody else during his era. That's significant.
Right.
But then it's funny to me that people, and I've made this argument a trillion times on this show over the years, it's funny to me that people say Hines doesn't have the numbers. He caught 1,000 passes, over 80 touchdowns, I believe. And then in the postseason, he started 16 postseason games, which is the equivalent of one season during his era, 85 touchdowns in his career. So 1,000 catches for 12,000 yards and 85 touchdowns. And then in the playoffs, with the equivalent of one season, 16 playoff starts, Hines has 80-some catches, I believe. No, 88 catches for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns in the playoffs. Playoffs? 88 catches for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns, plus the little Super Bowl MVP. It really burns me up that he's not a Hall of Famer. It really does. Get him in there.
Well, I think he is as well. The fact that he's had to wait a little bit, I think.
No, he hasn't just had to wait a little bit. He's like, not going to get in.
I think he's eventually going to get in.
How?
But the longer
the
and longer.
Veterans, not through any means but the Veterans Committee.
The longer and longer it stalls and this process continues where, I mean, the game is significantly more pass happy than at the very beginning of Hines Ward's career. Would you say that in 98? It's a lot more of a pass happy league.
Now yeah,
than it was then.
You wouldn't know it this year, but yes.
What I'm insinuating there is that more and more wide receivers with numbers similar to his or better numbers are going to be pushed to the front of the line. And it's going to further stall Hines Ward's chances of making the Hall of Fame. I don't think he should. He's waited long enough at this point.
He's not getting in by conventional means, period. That's not happening. If he's going to get in, it's going to be essentially as an old timer, which is an absolute shame and a blight on the voters, in my not so humble opinion. What time is it?
11:40.
Our football talk here is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And we want you back again and again to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Very easy to do. And you're in very good hands. Here's another hot take for you. If I had a vote, it would be a very difficult decision between James Farrier and James Harrison for the Hall of Fame. I have always said that James Farrier is a borderline Hall of Fame player to me. And I don't know how many people in history, although actually I do because I looked it up one time, have double-digit interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, and sacks to go along with 1,400 career tackles, 98 tackles for loss, and 50 quarterback hits. Think about that resume. And people say, yeah, but Harrison got Defensive Player of the Year, to which I would say, okay, but James Farrier finished second one year by 4 votes to the great Ed Reed. A lot of that is dependent on what year you're talking about. This was 2004. James Farrier was a great player and a great leader for those epic Steeler defenses of the early 2000s. I love that guy. Good old Potsy.
He lost out by just 4 votes to Ed Reed in 04.
Yes, I
just
said
that. For Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, considerable season that he had. And I think the case is maybe better for Hines Ward than it is for Farrier.
I agree.
But he's definitely somebody that you could argue, probably more of a Hall of Honor guy than a Hall of Fame player.
I mean, the thing about the Hall of Fame is it's become the Hall of the Very Good, and he was very good. I watched the Orange Crush defense when I was a kid with Randy Gratishar. He was a Defensive Player of the Year one year, and he made the Hall of Fame. I think James Farrier was every bit the player that Randy Gratishar was. Again, double figures in interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, and sacks. That's a hell of a deal right there. 70 passes defense in his career. He was a great all-around linebacker, or at least a very good one. At least a very good one. And as I said, that's what it is these days. It's the Hall of the Very Good. If it were me, and I was choosing Halls of Fame, it would be the greats of the greats, but that wouldn't make for a very good TV show every year because you might get 0 or 1 guys in.
Like baseball.
Yeah. It would be very difficult. So I get it. You know, it really is like everything else in sports about television and money in the end. So a bunch of guys who were very good get in. And I do agree. Was it Dion a couple of years ago who said there should be a different level for the truly the gods of the game? You know what I mean? I do agree with that.
Like they should be there on the top floor at Canton?
Yes. Yeah, the top floor. Ron and I did a great show at Canton. 1 year. That was a lot of fun. And that was last year. It was one of our last shows together.
I had never
been there. Have you been there?
I have, yes. A couple of years ago, I went.
It's really breathtaking.
I got a chance to wear one of the Steelers Super Bowl rings.
To walk into that room and see those busts. It's like Toy Story. You can imagine, you know, when the lights go out at night that they talk, they come alive and talk to each other.
That's really cool. And they have a presentation of Joe Namath talking to you in like a makeshift locker room.
We saw that, and that's Ron's hero.
Yeah.
It was a hologram, right?
Yeah, it's a hologram. And there's lockers with old players' jerseys all around you, like Jim Brown was, I think, in there, Dan Marino. Yeah, really cool experience. I mean, I've been to the College Football Hall of Fame. That's really cool. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame is on another level. There is, I mean, the level of detail that goes into it. You walk around the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and it just keeps going. You're like, you don't say, when is this going to end? But you wonder, this just keeps going on and on and on. It's awesome.
I will say this. Some of the busts don't look anything like the person. There was one, I forget which player, it looked like a bust, more a bust of Mulsey than it did of the actual player. It was unbelievable.
Like Troy Polamalu's bust, his face doesn't necessarily look like him. Obviously, the hair does.
Yeah. Have you seen the little wood etchings of all the fan hosts in here?
Yes, I have.
The one of Mulsey, it looked like the guy just quit at the end and said, I'm going to look at it right now. It's unbelievable. The other ones are extremely detailed, in great detail. And then Mulsey, it just like it looks like a hard-boiled egg that he put a mouth on. It's unbelievable. Did he just stop? Did was the shift over at that point?
I know they've talked about this before on the air. And is Mulsey necessarily pleased with that? I don't necessarily think so. But yeah, he looks like Easter came a little bit early. And a nice little egghead.
Mulsey egg. It's incredible. How would you like to do a little mailbag, Limits? That would be exciting.
Oh, I'd love to dive into a mailbag. It's universally read.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High is 77 today with cloudy skies. Dan Zangrilli coming up next. We have a new intro for him that's very exciting. Pirates eliminated from the playoffs officially. Where do we go from here with the GM, with the manager? John Parrotto is on the record with us saying that Terry Francona might well be interested if this job became open. What does Dan make of all that? All right, to the mailbag. You ready, Limits? Because we have some very interesting things.
I'm quite ready. We have to make sure we get Dr. Zangrilli in at noon because he has a meeting at 12:20. Just so you know, a little behind-the-scenes action going on.
Yeah, that's why I said Dan Zangrilli at noon.
I know.
What is going on here?
I'm ready for the mailbag.
The irony of that is that you just wasted time in an effort to keep me from wasting time or going overtime. You just took up time in an effort to keep me from taking up time.
Now you're taking up more time.
It's very ironic, isn't it?
It very much so is.
Barry Sherry asks, and it's a wonderful name, isn't it?
Yes, I highly agree.
Could be Sherry Barry. I hope you're doing well. Is the starting QB for the 25 Steelers currently on the roster? Limits, please answer that and answer it succinctly.
51% of me says, yes, Justin Fields will be next year's starter. 49% of me says, no, they will pivot once again and draft a rookie. I'm not very confident, but I will say Fields.
I said, thank you, Dr. Sherry, for the question, and I think his name is Justin Fields, just like you, except I'm a little bit more sure of that. I think that Tomlin is quite enamored with this man, and if he improves, you know, the key question with Justin Fields is how is he going to perform when the Steelers need to score? That's it, in a nutshell. And we're going to find out. Next up is a man named Jay Crossland 895. I have no idea what that means. Bless you, Joe, he says. The Steelers offense in the second half in Denver put on a performance that Bishop Sycamore would have been embarrassed by. Is it more a symptom of the head coach's conservative approach, or do they just not have the talent to get it done? Should I be optimistic, says Dr. J?
I think both can be true, Joe. I mean, did Justin Fields miss some throws in the second half? Yeah, but did
both
they...
Both of what can be true?
Maybe they don't have the talent, and also, I mean, they don't have the wide receiver talent. We're not doubting that. And we're and Broderick Jones right now, with his talent, is not putting it out there on full display on the field. And they also seem pretty conservative in that second half, not stretching the field and not opening it up to the middle of the field and not seemingly wanting to do anything but try to run the football and burn the clock.
I agree with every syllable you just uttered. They made Matt Canada look like Bill Walsh in the second half of that game, but the whole idea was simply they might as well have knelt on the ball 20 times in the second half, and they still would have won, by the way. I do find it curious, as I mentioned to Jay, this Cordarrelle Patterson obsession that Arthur Smith seems to have. I thought it was a very odd time to put Cordarrelle in the game when you had two healthy, good running backs. But maybe that's just me. Another person weighs in on Sidney Crosby. This is Coach C, he calls himself. Bonjour, Monsignor Starkey. First time I got that one. Sidney Crosby took the usual hometown discount to stay here. Good news for us, and it's certainly commendable. But in terms of winning another cup, do you think he made the right decision staying here? And would you have done it? Go ahead, Limits. Answer that very succinctly.
If I wasn't Sidney Crosby, I think it'd be a lot easier if I was a player who wasn't a top five guy all time in the sport. But no, if I was Crosby, yes, I would stay with the Penguins. I think it's important being a one jersey guy just for the legacy, your own legacy. And that means something to Crosby. That means something to me in observing sports. I like players who are just one team guys, and you want to play with your friends. That's what Crosby's basically been saying and been requesting with Letang and Malkin. They have to get it done. They have to break through again. But if I was Crosby, yeah, I'd keep it the same.
Would I have done it? No, I would have gone for the money. Most people do, but most people aren't Sidney Crosby. You heard, God bless me, somebody earlier mentioned loyalty. And yes, that's true. Loyalty? Not as huge of an ego as a lot of other A-list stars in sports. A fierce desire to win at any cost. Literally at any cost, like he saved them, what, $50 million? It's going to be something like that by the time his career ends. He's the 42nd highest paid player in the NHL. As far as having a better chance to win a cup elsewhere, of course there are teams that he could go to where the chance would be better. Of course there are. But I still think this can be a pretty good team. A, I agree with you about the legacy. B, that that's very important to Sid. And he's done it all. He's already done it all. He's won three cup series, won gold medals. He's won every award under the sun. So might it be different if he had never won? Yeah, probably. But he's won a ton. That rhymed. So this all makes sense to me that he would want to preserve that legacy of being a one city guy. And he's already won everything there is to win. And I'm not so sure the Penguins won't have a good year. I mentioned that off the top of the show as they begin camp today. I think that's a pretty good roster.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.